These few days we're going to talk about the heart of the matter. Now, the heart of the matter is really the heart of the matter. And we've just been singing about the heart. And let me assure you that the heart is the heart of the matter. Everything that concerns us. And we're going to read a few scriptures, but I'm going to, it's from different parts of the Bible, so I'll just read it to you. I'll give you the references. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Matthew 15:8, "The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jeremiah 7:24, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and imaginations of their evil heart and went backward and not forward." Now, we all know the verse in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Romans 2 verse 5, a fearful verse, "But after thy hard and impenitent heart," I won't be sorry heart, "treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, it was because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." And 2 Chronicles 6:30, "For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men." He knoweth, Psalm 44, the secrets of the heart. And then this brave verse in Psalms 26 verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart." I wonder if each of us would have that confidence to be say, "God, examine me. I'm willing to be examined." So we're going to talk about the heart of the matter. Because the Bible says to us that out of the heart, for out of it are all the issues of life. All that is vitally important comes from the heart. Proverbs 23 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, if I was to tell you, I want to tell you the heart of a story, what would that be? The heart of the story. It would be the most important meaning of the story. It would be a summary of it. It would be the vital part of the story. And these 6 days, we're going to talk about the vital things that are essential for us to know dealing with the heart, because the heart is the most important part of us. Now, it's not the muscle that's on the left-hand side of the brain that we're talking about, that wonderful pumping machine, but we're talking about that part inside each one of us that is in direct relation to God, that is accountable to God. And as soon as we're able to differentiate between the right hand and to the left, we are accountable to God, and our heart is accountable to him. It's the center from which all decisions spring, in which all actions are born. And it is the heart that will determine whether we go to heaven or to hell. Now, a physical heart is vital. You can't exist unless your heart is beating. Now, man is wonderful, so they've created artificial hearts. South Africa was the first country where they did a heart transplant. Not only artificial, but a transplant from one person to the other. But it doesn't take away the fact that the body cannot function without a heart. And spiritually, we cannot function unless we have inside of us a spiritual functioning heart, a new heart. God actually says, "I want to take out the stony heart out of your being, and I want to put in you a heart of flesh, a heart that serves me, a heart that loves me." So, In the same way, for us to function spiritually, we have got to have a healthy heart spiritually. Now, God uses the word heart. Why does he use the word heart? Because he wants to emphasize that the heart affects everything, just like our physical heart affects everything. My dad's heart is not as good as what it should be. So what happens? When he walks, he walks a little bit slower than what he would walk if his heart was very healthy. It affects everything. If you look at a car and you want to think, what is the heart of the car? What would you say is the heart of the car? Yeah, it's the engine. If you were to look at a clock and say, what is the heart of this clock? It's the mechanism. It's the thing that makes it go. And without life, the heart is dead. If there's a problem with the heart, everything has got a problem. And so also spiritually, if our heart problem has not been addressed, we will be a problem. Now, the Bible says, the king's daughter is all glorious within, and her clothing is of wrought gold. Isn't that beautiful? Wrought gold. But why is her clothing of wrought gold? Why do people look at her and say, oh, that is a king's daughter? It's because she's all glorious within. And it's inside that we have to be changed first. What we say, what we do, what we are, is affected by our heart. And the only way to be effective and to be what God wants us to be is if we have a new, healthy, spiritual heart. In fact, as my dad says, we have a heart transplant. God created us with a physical heart, but he wants to create in us a spiritual heart, a new heart, like the Bible, and I'm sure we're going to do, you people are doing in the Bible study, a new heart he wants to give us that is not full of sin. Nie? En sonde gebore nie. But it's brand new, washed clean. We have to be a credit to God as his children. And we cannot be a credit if we do not have a new insight that helps us. Now, a physical heart has got diseases, and when a physical heart has diseases, then it malfunctions. Eh? And if our spiritual heart is full of sin, it's like the disease of sin, then we will malfunction. Now, eventually, if a physical heart has got problems, eventually the person dies. Isn't that true? And we all know about unexpected deaths, people dying of a heart attack, of heart failure. And often when this happens, these people didn't know they had a heart problem. They thought they were fine. They were going through life, with no fear. And suddenly it happens. Slowly creeping upon them was death. And so slowly creeping upon us is the second death, where we will stand before God. And if our heart has not been dealt with, we need to fear that meeting with God. Now, I know of people, a doctor said to the one man that I know, he said to him, you've got no problems. You're fine. He went for a little checkup. The next day, the man was dead. I know of another man. He also went to the doctor with his, he said, haven't I got a heart problem? The doctor says, no, you're fine. The same night. In fact, my mom and him were staying in the very house, and he went in the night, just so suddenly. There was a lady traveling with a man in a car. The man was speaking to her, and then suddenly the lady was quiet, and he looked at her, and he said, why is she quiet? What had happened? Just on that car journey, she'd flitted into eternity. She had a heart problem. But our physical heart can stop at any time. You know, even young people, I know of a girl of 23 about. She got a disease, and within a few hours, it was a virulent disease, within a few hours in the night, she was just gone. She was young, and she was just in a moment, she was gone. I know of a family that was traveling in a car, and just a crash, a wreck, like Angie had and Joyce had. You know, it happened so suddenly. And then suddenly you're in eternity. And if your heart is not what it should be, then it is a fearful thing too. The students at Bible College, while I was still preparing, we heard that I had an accident. The whole combi had rolled. Two students had flung out of the combi and the one girl is paralyzed. We don't know what life holds. And because we don't know what life holds, and because we don't know when our physical heart can stop, We need to be certain that our spiritual heart is ready to meet with God. Everything seemed so certain. Life flowed on steadily when suddenly the angel of death came stealthily. One moment terra firma, the next before God's throne. No time for reparation. Accountable alone. God's piercing eye dissecting each corner of your heart. Oh, for the chance to go back, to seek God from the start. Life always so uncertain. Eternity is near. Seek God in deep repentance. Approach with awe and fear. A new heart he will give you, washed clean as white as snow, reflecting in your actions, a light to all below. No fear to face your Maker. Your heart is in his hand. Your soul desire, he's well done, fulfilling all he planned. What is the condition of our hearts if we look inside and if God looks inside? In the spiritual sense, we also marching through life, easy, happy, satisfied with ourselves. We're so much better than other people, and we're totally unprepared for the second death when we have to face God. And we get the picture wrong. We think there's nothing wrong with us. We're religious. We're even at a camp like this. We read our Bible. We go to church. We don't do all those dreadful things that other people do. But if our heart has not been changed by God, if he hasn't taken out the stony heart and given us a heart of flesh, we are in great problems. You know, Jonathan Edwards said, I'm sure you all know about his sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. He said, all of mankind is hanging over the fires of hell on a thin thread of grace. And what is that thin thread of grace? It's God's mercy, God's patience, God's long-suffering, waiting for us to say, here is my heart. But we wait and we carry on and we think everything is fine. And then one day that thread will snap. So what we're actually doing is we're stretching that thread. And you can't stretch it forever. It will snap. How fearful that man stretches the fragile thread of grace. How fearful that with laughter near hell with brazen face. God waits with patient longing for you to see your need while you plod on relentless to hell with dreadful speed. The final destination where you deserve to go while you stretch grace's limits careless of hell below. Oh man, consider how you dangle on heedless there. Seek God while there is still time for him, your soul, to spare. Now life is a journey. We're going on a journey and we never know when on that journey God will say, this is your time to face your Maker. Now I was going on a train journey with my mother. It's called the Trans-Karoo. And the boys, my mother and I, were all in this train, and all the way it took us about almost 2 days to reach Johannesburg to visit my sister. And it was great fun. We were in the compartment. I ordered lots of cups of boiling water, which I put my tea bag into. So we had a wonderful time in the train. And then when we got to the other side, we just weren't allowed to get off the train. And they said, no, you can't get off. So we said, well, what's going on? And then my sister came to the side of the, and she called to us, don't tell mommy. But somebody died on the train. Somebody had a heart attack. And therefore they just, you know, dealing with that before anybody's allowed to disembark. So between Cape Town and Joburg on that journey, somebody died. And we're also on a journey through life. And we don't know when our call will be. You know, I fly quite often. We fly all over the world. And the lady who sometimes does tickets in Cape Town said to me that, she said, often people on a plane trip will have a heart attack or something on the plane. And she said, have you ever looked at the toilet door where it says out of order. Now, I think she was teasing me, but she said that if somebody has a heart attack on the plane, she said they can't leave them sitting with all the people. So she said, where on earth do they put them? They put them in the toilet and they just put out of order. So I thought, that's not true. But anyway, one day I was flying and I got to a toilet and the toilet did say out of order. And it worried me to think what could be behind the door. But I didn't look, I didn't knock on. But yeah, so I still don't know if she was teasing me. But the fact remains that one never knows when that little thread of grace will snap. Now, the newspapers in our country, I don't know about your country, often tell us of sportsmen on the sports field have heart attacks and suddenly, they die on the sports field. Now, these sportsmen are 6'3", fit, the last thing they think about is their heart. But there's a virus in their heart or something, and it's happened time and again that one of them has just gone on the sports field. We go through life. To everybody around us, we like sportsmen in the spiritual realm. We are at the forefront of Christianity. And sometimes it happens that we know there is something wrong inside, but we don't want to admit it. God knows that there's not a virus, but the sin virus. Sin has never been dealt with. And even though we look so perfect to the world around and to other Christians, our heart has never been replaced by God. We inherited a sinful heart from Adam and Eve. And that heart is our portion unless God cleanses it and renews it. We face the condemnation of God. We face hell. No matter how good, how upright, how right we seem to be on the outside. If the heart of the problem has not been dealt with, if we haven't come to God acknowledging our need of a new heart, we are still facing God's judgment. On sports fields, men have fallen, in seconds were laid low. Why did death come and claim them? What caused the final blow? They seem so fit, athletic, all that a man should be. Yet in a second, lifeless, unwarned, eternity. Their heart, the only reason the thread of life was snapped, relentless, it had slowly their very lifeblood tapped. We too may think we're healthy, a child of God, we say, but inside us a problem that stalks upon our way, our heart with sin embedded. Diseased discounts our claim. Because of it we cannot go forth in Jesus' name. Oh, let us not as others ignore the fact that we are born with a heart problem, but seek God's remedy. Now, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked, and it is also deceitful. And the heart breathes into our brains and mind the idea that we're okay. There's no problem. We're so much better than other people. We don't need a clean heart. We don't need a new heart. We don't need a cleansed heart. And the deceitful heart continues deceiving ourselves, and we do not address the problem that we are all born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And that's speaking of the second death. And unless that has been dealt with by God, we face his judgment. The thread of grace will eventually snap. We blind ourselves to the problem, but God's eyes, his penetrating eyes, sees right into our heart. I've told you before, the lady that had a dream, she dreamt she was standing in front of the judgment throne. And as she was coming towards the judgment throne, she suddenly looked down and she saw she was see-through. But all that was visible was this black heart full of sin. And so she tried to grab things from people and whatever to try and cover herself up. But everything became see-through. And when she got to God, she put her hands over and her hands were see-through. And she woke up, but never would she forget that nothing is hidden from God. Our hearts are not hidden. We may bluff everybody around us, but God knows. what the state of our heart is. And I think we know inside. You know, Isaiah, when he stood in front of the throne of God and he said, "Holy, holy, holy," when he saw God on the throne, he immediately said, "I am unclean." It is a holy God that we have to face one day. And that holy God looks down upon us and sees right into our heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. So today we're going to give ourselves a little heart inspection. You know, when you have a problem heart, you go to the doctor and he inspects your heart. God calls us to examine our heart, for from it comes each thought and every action, both large and little ones, the sins we do in secret, the thoughts we think alone, the deeds done where it's public, those failures right at home. We may excuse our actions. We may say we are fine. Careless, we could be laughing while we sin every time. But one day we will face God. Our hearts exposed, revealed. How futile if on earth we our sinful hearts concealed. We've got to realize that every single human being has a heart problem. A tremendous heart problem. An eternal, life-threatening heart problem. I must do something about it problem. While there is time problem. Before it is too late problem. Every single person is born with us. We have defective hearts that need to be replaced. We are born with a heart of sin. It malfunctions. It causes us to sin. It's impossible to fulfill God's demands and his commandments. It's impossible to be holy as he is holy with this heart that we are born with. And therefore this heart condemns us. It sends us to hell and eternal damnation. And that is the point we have to start with. No one is born sinless. No one is born on their way to heaven. But our footsteps, from the time we can differentiate between right and left, the Bible says our footsteps are headed towards hell. Why are we born in sin? Why are we born in sin? Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and that sin entered the rest of mankind. That's what the Bible tells us. Even if we're a religious family, even if we read a Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. We get the picture wrong if we think that we can escape that. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, even so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I inherited a sinful heart from Adam and Eve. Now, years ago, I was in a home in Johannesburg, and in this home, a little baby was born, the tiniest, most fragile. I mean, the little baby was, you could just hold it in practically in one hand. But this baby had a real problem. They immediately realized there's something physically wrong with this baby. She was continually sick, and they had to continually rush this little, tiny little thing to hospital. And the father did missionary work, and often he would be phoned, and he'd rush to the hospital, and when he got to the hospital, he wouldn't know if his child would be dead or alive. There was all the evidence of a grave illness, and they thought, is it a virus she caught in the hospital? Is it an immune deficiency? What is causing this? And they investigated this problem and that problem, and at last they decided to investigate her heart. And she had a large problem with her heart. I think there was a chamber that was totally missing, and that was why she was unable to cope with disease. She was unable to cope with infection, any cold or anything. She was just at death's door, passing out, losing her breath. The problem had to be addressed. And when they started on her heart and gave her a heart operation, she could hope to live a normal and a healthy life. And so with us too, we investigate every other reason for our failures and for the things we do wrong, instead of starting at the heart. The baby was so frail and small, a tiny, fragile child, without the strength to fight disease. Even her cry was mild. What is the cause? The doctor cried. A virus or the flu? Infection from the ward itself? No one the answer knew. Until the truth dawned, suddenly they thought to view her heart. Then they discovered every ill from that frail source did start. They could address her problem. They knew where they should start. For when they operated, it was upon her heart. We too are frail to combat sin. We cannot stand upright. Our life wrapped up in darkness. No strength to do what's right. Our heart, the only reason we are in such a plight. Our heart needs the physician to make us clean and bright. We need an operation. God's hand to reach our heart. 'Tis only He can change it. 'Tis there we have to start. Just as with a little baby, they had to start at the heart before there was any hope of life. So with us, we need to start at the heart. No matter how sophisticated, how rich, how educated, how superior, how good, how moral, how church, we're all born with this heart that has got a problem. A defective heart, a heart that wants to sin and that chooses to sin. A heart, the Bible says, of stone. Perhaps you say, I've not got a heart problem. I reject all you say. You surely cannot mean that I'm lost and gone astray. But you have a heart problem. A problem that you have to address. A sinful heart. Its wickedness. Acknowledge and confess. We need to acknowledge to God, say, admit to God, Lord, my heart is full of sin and I need Thee to change it. We have to start with our heart. It's what needs to be replaced. That's where we begin. Now, sometimes we see the evidence that our heart isn't doing what it should do. And what do you do when you have a heart problem? Well, what do you do when you see you're sick? What do you do? Who do you go to? You go to the doctor. That's right. Now, last year, I had terrible pains in my chest. And I thought, oh, I'm just imagining it. And I don't feel like doing anything about it. But eventually I went to the doctor and they were able to find out what was wrong and they were able to give me medication. Now, I could have just gone on saying, oh, I'm just imagining it, I'm not going to deal with it, and then I would have landed in dire straits. We can blind our eyes to the spiritual problem. Even though we know we're facing the judgment of Christ, we just don't want to admit to God that we have got a sinful heart. We realize our heart is the cause, the inner cause, but we just don't want to do anything about it. You have to lose your pride to be able to admit and say, I am a sinner. My heart is full of sin. Now, society says, it's not really your heart that's a problem. It's how you were brought up, your environment, the home you live in. Those things cause you to do wrong. Well, they can help you to do wrong. But the Bible says it is your heart that makes you say yes or no to God. It's the unregenerate, sinful heart. What we are, what we do, what we don't do, all starts from the heart. And God wants to give us a new heart. And when He gives us a new heart, there is life. A person that has got a stony heart is dead spiritually. A person that has got a new heart is alive. Like my nephew that I can never forget how he changed when God changed his heart. Now, if you were to throw a stick into the stream, where would the stick flow? It would just flow with the stream, wouldn't it? It can't jump like a salmon against the stream to get upstream, because for it to jump, it would have to have life, and a stick doesn't have life. Now, there was a Spartan man, and I don't know how it is, but I read that in one of the books. He had a corpse, and he tried to get this corpse to stand up. But the corpse couldn't stand up. The corpse wouldn't stand up. And then the Spartan man said, there's something missing on the inside. Now, before we are saved, there's also something missing on the inside. We're not able to resist sin. We're not able to stand. We need something on the inside. And what we need on the inside is a new heart. But you know what? We know we need a new heart if we're honest before God, but we don't do anything about it. We don't repent. We don't confess our heart's condition. I was in California, and suddenly I heard a scuffle at the side of this sort of supermarket factory shop. And, we didn't know what was going on. And then suddenly they said, oh, no, somebody's collapsed. They've had a heart attack. What happened? Within seconds, the paramedics were in the shop. They immediately found help, phoned for help. But we collapse under the temptation of sin, in despondency, despair, unhappy, dissatisfied. We know sin has dominion over us. We know our heart needs help. But what do? Do we cry for help? Do we say, dear Father, look where I'm lying? No. We just go on and we refuse to acknowledge our need. We lie on the ground, defeated and oblivious. And everybody around us can sometimes see that we've got a heart problem. But we do not want to admit it. Because you have to be humble to be able to acknowledge, I'm just as bad as that sinner or that publican or that bad. I also am on the same level because I started off on the same level. I was born with a heart of sin. Now in Natal, there was a couple that we were very fond of. I'm just going to call them Mr. and Mrs. X. But anyway, they were very exceptional. The man built a house with a young man of 12. An enormous double-story house with a thatch roof. They were amazing. And we loved them. And one day I was so excited because I'd gone to the supermarket and got cups and saucers for practically nothing. And I said to them, well, look what I've got. And they just kept quiet because they loved good things. And when they looked at me, I knew they were saying to me, well, you could have got one good cup rather than all this, you know. Anyway, they were very fond of us, and I know they were fond of me because they had a cow that they called Jenny. And this cow used to sometimes come and visit us where we stayed. And also there was a lady who visited them, and she was talking about Keith and me, and then this lady said to them, I like Keith more than Jenny. So the Alexanders immediately said, oh, I prefer Jenny. So they were very sweet. And God used them many times to answer prayer because we often used to have youth teams and people that arrived at our door. And some of us, I looked and I thought, oh, what on earth am I going to give them for breakfast? And never do I cook as Mary cooks. But anyway, but I just thought, what can I get? And the next morning I'd open my door and on the threshold would be a bottle of milk from Jenny, the cow. And eggs, you know, and I was able to give them eggs, and I even was able to scoop off the cream off the milk because it was such rich, creamy Jersey cow milk, and they had scones and tea. So they were a wonderful provision from the Lord living next door to us. But I was very sad to hear that the lady had died. And I was even sadder when I heard how she died, because apparently she had a pain on her chest. And she went, and her husband and this other young person went and told her, well, you must lie down. And so she lay down with the pain on her chest, and the pain got worse. And they held her hand, and they just held her hand, and a few hours later, she just passed into eternity. They didn't call the doctor. They didn't take her to hospital. They didn't address the problem. And what happened? She died. And so too with us. We face the judgment of God, the second death. We know we face the judgment of God. We see that we cannot be holy as God is holy. We can't please Him. We know there's something wrong. We've got an idea. It is our heart. But what do? Just like that lady, we just carry on. We lie on. And the moment comes when we don't have a chance to return to that space where God gives us to make a decision. Have you ignored the problem, the very most vital part, the heart which has been sin-driven, from which all your actions start? God's eyes probed into each corner. Nothing is hidden from Him. Lies will melt if you're honest, confessing your heart of sin, admitting your heart the problem, repentant, confess its state, for God to deal with the problem before forever too late. Amen.